I don't remember exactly what we had on the board last time, but we had a fundamental hakira about the nature of Gneva or Gzela. I think we can assume, pretty safely that they're similar. Is it, I don't remember which is on which on the top, which is on the bottom. So do you say it's really about Kenyan? It's about the acquisition of the ganef, about taking someone's property, or it's really about the mazik, the loss of the bailim, or the loss to the bailim. I thought, I didn't have this on the board, I didn't get around to mentioning these yet, these are Rabbeinu Yonah in just a random line from Rabbeinu Yonah at the beginning of Pirkei Avos, when he's discussing the idea of Torah Shebech Sav and Torah Shebal Peh and Mesorah, nothing to do with our topics, says, and one example of something we know from the Torah Shebal Peh, is, after all, how do you know it's allowed to be mazik? So the Torah says, Lotigzol, the Torah Shebal Peh teaches us that this includes mazik. So that is, I thought was fascinating. It's very unclear exactly how we know it's usher to be mazik someone. It is usher to be mazik someone. You know, is it just from if you have to reacha kamocha and more general moral ideas, or is there a very specific lav to be mazik? So Rabbeinu Yonah says yes, the lav of losigzol. So I thought that Rabbeinu Yonah made a lot of sense on this side of the. Of the chakira, meaning if the etzem lav, Rabbeinu Yonah in Avos, if the etzem lav that it was about your taking something, then it would be harder to extrapolate that it's usher to be mazik someone's property. What do you mean? It's usher for me to enrich myself. Osa osher v'lod mishma is usher. But why does that mean it's usher to break your property at no gain to myself? It's not mocha. Say, who knows? But Rabbeinu Yonah makes a lot more sense from the second side of the Chakira. If the ikar of the Isser of Neva is making someone else lose their property by bringing it elsewhere, then you understand, what's the difference if they lost their property because it's intact but elsewhere, or because it's still in their home but broken? Either way, I made them lose their property, so then Rabbeinu Yonah makes a lot more sense. Where we got started here is, we talked about the Ri and the Ritzba, we said there might be many nafkaminas this chakira. I'm not claiming all these nafkaminas are mochrach, but some of them certainly make a very striking pattern, especially in the Ri and Ritzba themselves. The nafkamina, the first set of nafkaminas might be about the act of geneva, meaning what counts as an act of geneva. So here we have Meshicha L'Rishus HaRabim, again, according to Abai Rabba, according to the Wee Paskin, that L'Halacha, not that someone might argue with Abai Rabba, the Wee Paskin, that's not Koneh. L'Halacha She'enu Koneh, right? L'Halacha De'enu Koneh. And here we had the Ritzba says Pater, and the Ri says Chayiv. I hope I didn't mix them up. Someone shouted me if I did. The Ritzba near Lo, de Palig, right? Exactly. And the Ri says de Lo Pliya de Ravina. So the what are they arguing about? Meshich L'Rishus HaRabim is a great example, as we mentioned last time, that you have Meshich L'Rishus HaRabim has just as much taking out as Meshich L'Sibta, but doesn't have any taking in, and therefore it's a great litmus test. We pointed out also, we tied this into the Shakla Vataria, it's not really an Afghanian, it's just tying into the Shakla Vataria of just Shakla Vataria in Afghanina. You know, Havanas, HaShakla Vataria, Avodazara, Dachayim Aleph. We will not put that on the board again. What I did point out is that maybe, even though this is not Mokrach, but it works out very nicely to the Nafkamina that all the Achronim, and we were Medayik, in the Ri and the Ritzba, a mere one blot ago, what about Gneva al yedei kinyan bli maisa. I just think something's on my property and I think I want to steal it. Right? So there also we're in Medayik Machlokas Rin Ritzbah. The Ritzbah clearly said in Tosin the Flamin Ramal to Masla the Idlo Matzi La Dure that does count as Gneva. And the Re disagreed with the Ritzbah, and that we weren't sure exactly how the Re would get out of the Ritzbah's Taina. We suggested, and this makes the most sense, this is what the Man De'achronim assume, the Re would get out of the Ritzbah's Taina if he disagrees on this point. L'chaora, the Re says, Potter, and this worked out beautifully, the Shitasa. The Ritzbah says about me acquiring something illegally. So, who cares if I did a Maisa or not? Meaning, if I acquired it, I acquired it. Kenyan is a Kenyan. Right? I was quoted just as much with or without a Maisa. The Re would say, no, it's not about my acquisition. It's not about my kinyan. It's about me being mazik you. So here, you could say otherwise, but maybe the most intuitive way to look at it is that if I didn't do anything, just by thinking, I wasn't mazik you. I didn't take it away from you. My thought doesn't hurt you. You're in the same position with or without my brainwaves. It might acquire the conism for me, but it doesn't hurt you, and therefore it would work beautifully. Lishitasam. I've seen other people point this out. Another nafkamina might be a famous question of what about das kone? Do you need das kone for gneva? Right. Now here, this comes up in two different forms, one more radical than the other. So what about Gneva without Das Kone? So clearly, if Gneva is about being Mazik, then we should say that, well, I was Mazik just the same with or without Das Kone, right? If I walk into your house and I take home your wallet, whether I have Das to be Kone it or not, you have lost exactly the same. I don't mean if I could be fine if I, maybe if I take your wallet intending to keep an eye on it for you and protect it from thieves to get it back to you, you haven't lost. But if I take your wallet home with me, then lachor you've lost the same. But in terms of the kinyanim, you could say, like, without das kone, I'm not really kone. And this comes up in two contexts. One more radical, one less radical. The classic machlokes, achronim, you really need to dayak this in the rishonim, just you have to dayak, is what about Gneva Bitos. What about Mekartos? Right? Classic case of Gneva Bitos is, right, I take the wrong guy's raincoat home from shul. Right? Maisim Cholyom. I take the wrong guy's raincoat home from shul. Why? Because I think it's mine. So I did steal his raincoat, but I didn't. Anyone know what's the halacha? What if I do a kinyan on your object thinking it's mine? Is that a valid kinyan or not? No, das kone, right? That's called older benefzer. Right? Okay, correct. That's called older benefzer. Give some shul. Even if I do a kinyan in a hefker and think it's mine, it's not a valid kinyan. If there's a hefker field and I do a kinyan because I plow the field, so I think it's mine, then I'm not kone. To be kone, you need to know that it's not yours and that you want to acquire it. A similar case is either I take someone's raincoat by accident, or the case of the funny shlif of our Vera case of if I find a sucker. And I send him, and I say, can you do me a favor, bring me my cow from, Plumy's yard, and it's really not my cow, I'm asking you to steal the cow. So I ask you to get me my object, it's really not my object, I'm asking you to steal, but you think you're just bringing it to me. So what about Gneva Bitos? I don't mean Tos of like, something fell in my pocket, I didn't realize it was in my pocket. Okay, there, like I didn't do anything. I mean, I have to go and steal your thing. It's just mekartos. I didn't mean to steal it. If I had known the facts, I wouldn't have agreed. I don't have das to be kone. So what about gneva betos without das kone? So this is the machlokas I brought on the sheet. Again, you can dike in a lot of rishonim, but it's most famous as the machlokas in the Tzman, Shach, and Simen, Shin, Mem, Ches. In the discussion, the main discussion there is shliach of Aravera. Is the shliach chayiv? We know it's a famous machlokas rishonim. When did we learn Bava Metzia? 2 years ago? So we saw this machlokas rishonim. Is there shliach of Aravera? If the shliach shouldn't have known better. Okay, but without getting into that, let's assume ein shliach d'var veira. This is within the man d'amar that there's no shlichos. I send you, and I trick you into stealing something from me, the tos, and let's assume I'm potter. So I didn't steal it because ein shliach d'var veira. Did you steal it? Or did no one steal it? That's the machlokas man shach. If the mastermind isn't chayav, is the poor sucker shliach chayav? Or is no one chayav and no theft has occurred? So the Shema says, he quotes it as if it's written explicitly in the words of Mukhi Yosef. What does he say? Mukhi Yosef, Kasav Perk Meruba, the end, the Shliach Chayav, the Inshlech of Arverifil Mokhi, the Inshlech of Deim Masa Isser. The Shliach is Chayav. Ah, not just he doesn't know he's doing this. He doesn't know he's being caught anything. He thinks he's just taking someone's property from one corner to another corner. He doesn't know he's being caught anything. No, the Shliach is Chayav, even though he didn't mean to do it. The Shach disagrees. The Shach, at the end of the Shach, says, "Umashikasur Shem and Mukhay Yosef Shliach Chayiv Lesa Dlo Kasur Mukhay Yosef Shav." Rak Mikomach Shliach Pot. The Mukhay Yosef never said that. Well, she is Shliach Chayiv. Ain't a Tam Klal. Chaim for the Hedi Yam Shlom Perk Berubasim Lamid Gimel the Kli Yam Shliach Potim Shlo Yoda Ayin Ayin Shem. The Sma thinks that the Shliach is Chayiv, right? So that makes a lot of sense from a Mazik perspective. I mean, he didn't do a Kenyan. He didn't do a proper Kenyan. But he stole the guy's thing. What does the guy care if he did a proper Kenyan or not? He stole the guy's thing. The Shach thinks that he is Potter. Here, I've seen in the modern day Sarim, I saw in Sosa footnotes, I don't know, there's different ones, I saw the book like Sosa. Have a long essay about it. That there are two ways to understand why he's Pater according to the Shach, perhaps. You could say that the reason he's Pater from the Shach is. You could say the reason he's Pater according to the Shach has nothing to do with Aruch HaKira. You could say the reason he's Pater according to the Shach is because, well, why might you think he might be Pater? But it was an accident, he didn't mean to do it. Why? What are the two ways to explain why he might be potter? Say he's chayiv. He's chayiv. He did it. Why would the Shach say he's potter? What are two ways to explain the Shach?
Kenyan.
You could say because there's no Kenyan, right? But there's no Kenyan. So, if his reason, if the svara is because of lack of Kenyan, right? This is pretty clear from the Ketzos and I think Reisha and Hay and from the Zichron and Shmuel and others, and we'll see from the Rashi we're about to see that. One way of understanding the Shach is the Shema says he's chayiv because he taka stole. Shach says he's potter because he wasn't kona. I don't care if physically it looked like stealing. He wasn't kona. If he wasn't kona without a kenyan, there's no gneva. Gneva depends on kenyan. That's the ritzvah. The ritzvah starts with gneva is kenyan. They're exactly equivalent. So just like gneva needs mashicha l'sinta, kenyan needs mashicha l'sinta, gneva needs mashicha l'sinta. Just like gneva needs das, maybe kenyan needs das. Of course, there's another way to explain the Shach, which would make it irrelevant. You could say he's potter because, let's just give another example. Let's say it wasn't theft. Let's say instead it was, I don't know, chil yantiv. I did chil yantiv by mistake. Am I chayef? Let's say I don't know, I was choresh b'shor v'chomor yachdav by mistake. Am I chayef? What do you think? Am I chayef? What will they do to me? If I'm, I plant wheat in the vineyard by mistake. Am I chayev?
Shogig.
No, shogig is potter, right? Meaning maybe it's just a kula, shogig is potter. Now, still, so the other way to understand the Shach, he's not talking because of the fancy Kenyan and Das Kona. Maybe he just means that shogig is potter because you're not such a bad person. So you could say, if the svar is because of lack of Das, let's just make ourselves a little box. If the svara, is because there's no das kone, then it proves then it proves he holds like the ritzvah. But there's another way to interpret the Shach, and this is what the later Rechon developed. If the svara, what's the other way to interpret the Shach? It's not a lack of das kone. It's a kula, it's because shogig is potter. It's just a pter shogig. Shogig is potter from onshin. I know in shogig, in some things, you have to bring a karban. But you're potter from onshin, right? No one ever suggested that a... okay, I'm not going to come up with a good example. Forget that. You're potter from onshin, so if the svara is... is that shogig is potter me'onshin, then you might say this doesn't prove anything about our chakira, but it still implies like the ritzvah. Why? Because shogeg is potter from onshin. But anyone want to tell me whether shogeg is potter from mazik? Is a mazik a shogeg potter?
No.
No. What's the drasha? Adam or the olam, right? So I still think, if svar is that shogeg is potter from onshin, it probably still shows he holds like the ritzvah, because if it was mitzad mazik, then we say adam will be olam. If this is the lav of mazik, then why do I say adam will be olam? So if it's because of lack of das kon, it's clear that it's about kinyanim. Even if just because shogeg is potter, because nebach, poor guy was a shogeg, we're nice to him, still, we're not nice to a shogeg by mazik. So that still would show that he's like the ritzvah side of the chakira. So I think either way, it establishes the shach on the ritzvah side of the chakira. One case which is even more radical is, what about this? What about the following case? Gneva b'mezid umiskaven shelo liknos. What if you're going to b'mezid? You know, like people do like with Shabbos tricks, etc., right? I'm miskaven shelo liknos, right? Someone brings me something on Shabbos, so I have in mind I don't want to be kona until after Shabbos, right? They deliver my newspaper granola bar on Pesach, so I have in mind that I don't want to be kona, right? So what if I steal something? I know it sounds very, Talmudic in the negative sense of the word, right? I steal your watch, b'kavana shelo liknos. So I'm a chayiv or pater, b'kavana shelo liknos. So, I think we all would have said intuitively, I'm chayiv anyway, give me a break. But Rav Chana points out that it's a Rashba later on in our parashah on the Dalam of Days who says Mefur Shampater. He talks about someone who stole a cow and was caving not to be kona until he shechts it. He says he's not chayiv until he shechts it. That's a wild kula. So the Rashba says Potter, clearly when the Rashba says Potter, he says caving shul liknos, clearly he's like the Rizvah, the Odeh. Right? He said, Gneva is all about kinyanim. If you have miskavish lo liknos, then you can talk and get out of Gneva. I'd like to think that's not mukher, even according to the ritzvah side of the chakira.
What about miskavish lo broccoli yama melech is a
god? Okay. I'll get that in 10 seconds. 30 seconds, 60 seconds, whatever. I'll get to that in some two-digit number of seconds. If it's about hezek, pashan chai, what kind of excuse? I can steal your things and make an excuse that miskavish lo liknos? But if it's really about kinyanim, then actually you can even say like the, I'd like to think it's not mukhrach. Meaning, I would assume that even if it's about kinyanim, you could say that you could disagree. You could disagree with the Rashba. Meaning you could say, even if it's about kinyanim, I can't artificially have in mind shelo liknos as long as I'm doing something that should be a kinyan. But the Rashba clearly illustrates, like if there's one sheet in all of Shas that illustrates the Gneva is all about kinyanim, and don't compare it to any intuitive idea we have about hurting your friend, it's the Rashba. I can steal something I'm not chayim as long as I have in mind shelo liknos.
What's the case to the other Rashba?
Right. He wanted it explained the Gemara Daf Lama Dalar and Beis. We'll get to it. Had a funny case of Kumlan Rabine where you weren't chayiv Gneva until you shechted it on Shabbos. So he said, why aren't you chayiv Gneva until you shechted it? Because you had in mind not to be chayiv until you shechted it. I mean, I'm not giving all the background. That's his case. Okay. Now, yes.
In the Gneva Tom,
Tosi is Pasha, then it's not, that we say Inchidot Varvera? No, this is within that Manda Omer. No, Tosa says, it's all within the Muke Yossi. That's why it's at the end of the Shach and the Svach. At the beginning, they talk about Tosfos and otherwise. But that's not our topic now. Joel says, what about not Gneva but Tos? What if I steal something amazing, but I don't intend, not like Rashba, I technically don't intend to be Kona like I pull a trick. What if I authentically don't want it? What if I want to hurt you and I don't want to help myself? Like, for example, I steal your object just to break it. Right? Right? What about Gonei Val Manas La'Abed? Right? So this is, we saw this Trumas HaKri already. Gonei Val Manas La'Abed. So that was the discussion, the Trumas HaKri that was on the last Makor sheet. So Gonei Val Manas La'Abed. Clearly, if Gonei is about Hezek, pashut that I'm chayiv. The whole point of gave is that I'm dima'avid it from you. What difference does it make if I want to keep it to enrich myself, or if I want to, you smash it into little pieces, or, better example, I want to throw it in the river, right? Why did I take it out of your, why did I moshik it out of your house to throw it in the river? Why did I pick it up to throw it in the river? Or why did I pick it up to smash it on the floor? I want to smash your vase, so, but I have to pick it up to get a good smash. If I knock it over, I'm afraid it will break, so I pick it up, and so I did hagbah. So, pashut you chayav, what do you mean? That pashut is at least as bad. Maybe it's worse than taking it home. If I take it home, you might be able to find me and get it back. You can send it detected if I smash it into little pieces. So a pashut that I'm chayav. Now again, don't misunderstand me. Either way, your chayav is a mazik, right? I mean, the hakira isn't whether you're chayav or whether it's perfectly okay. The question is, your chayav is a ganav or is a mazik. Now, kumino, what if it's a hezek she'ino nikar or other cases where... or if there's a kilu rabbi b'shas hezek that would make enough gemina. So pashat shechayim mita'am gzeila. Obviously, the whole point of gzeila is to be mazik. So if I want to be mazik, that's in the realm of gzeila. But if gzeila is about kinyan, then I think maybe you could say like the truma sakri. Says the truma sakri, and this is Rove Postkin. Says the truma sakri. I'm Potter from Olsim. Shum's okay, says I'm Potter from Olsim. Now, you have to figure out a case, again. Don't become a dying stone. Right? Shum's okay doesn't mean, if I pick up your vase and I smash it, I'm Potter. No, what it means is that I'm Potter as a ganef. Of course, my smash of chai for mazik. The nafkamina is, what if I pick up your vase to smash it, and before I can smash it, there's an earthquake, and the whole room tilts and falls out of my hand and breaks. And it's not much, right? That's when Ropos would say, I'm chayiv. Once I picked it up, I'm chayiv. And the Truma Sakri would say, no. I picked it up in order to ruin it, to destroy it. That's not Geneva. I didn't want to keep it for myself.
Sure?
If I had been mazik, I'd be chayiv as a mazik. But since it happened to be an earthquake and I was never mazik, or whatever the other case may be, I picked it up in order to smash it, and then all of a sudden, someone else came and stole it. So again, Ropos would say, I'm chayiv. I'm a ganef. He would say, Potter... Potter Michiyov Zela. Why? What's the svar of the Truma Sakri? Says, because that's not Gneva. Gneva is about wanting to keep it for myself. Not. What?
Why is it
better in the Shoah? Ah! Okay, good question. Shoah Shlomi Das is Chayav Onsen. He is a Gazlan. No, because the Shoah Shlomi Das wants to take it for himself.
Oh.
He wants to take it for himself temporarily, but he does want to take it for himself. A Shoah Shlomi Das wants to take it for himself. The Gozal Manas La'Abe does want to take it for himself. Some of you will bring this into the discussion that we saw in Merumas and Tosos about like Hagbats or Chnisach, like if someone steals something, you Manasach it, maybe that's only stealing it to destroy it, but most Echronim say that's not really relevant. So, yeah. If I steal something to be Manasach it to an idol, that's stealing it to use for myself. I want to worship an idol with it. That's not good. That might not even be the case of going to Manasla Abe. If I steal it to do Nisach, I know when I do Nisach, it's going to be Nevad. But my intention is to get use out of it, to actually do something useful with it that I want to do. Here we're talking about, I don't want to do something useful. I don't mean like I steal it to eat it and it's going to be destroyed. No, obviously it's regular to me, but I want to enjoy it. I want to use it for my purposes. What I mean is I just stand destructive. I'm a lunatic who just steals things to break them. So, or I'm not a lunatic, I'm just... a person who doesn't control Yetzer Hara and is very angry at someone and wants to hurt them. Is he a shomer? Interesting question. Perhaps not.
He's showing you need someone to appoint him.
Yeah.
There's no appointment.
Yes, I mean, we'll deal with that one. This correct. Now, even within the Truma Sakri, it's not mochuch. You could disagree, even according to its buzz side. Why? Because you could say that even if I'm stealing it, I'm nasla abeg. Since I'm going to be my abeg, I'm stealing it for it to be mine to destroy. So you could say that even according to the Ritva side about Kenyan, still going nasla abeg is also Kenyan. I want to own it for myself and then do whatever I want with it, such as destroying. Meaning you could say destroying is also a use that an owner has of something. So it depends how you look at it. But what I'm saying is, push it if you're on the Binyona side, if you're on the Re side. Pasha, that's the Gneva. All the Gneva is about damaging the other guy. Who cares? What are you going to do with it? If you say it's about my kinyan, then I think you could go both ways. You could say, like, the truma sacrificium, I don't want to keep it, I just want to break it. Or you could say, no, wanting to break it is wanting to keep it. I want to keep it so that I can break it, and then it becomes subtle, depends how you look at it, and I'm not getting into this now, but you could be mechalik subtly between slightly different cases, of course. Okay, so this is one question, one set of nafkaminas. Nafkaminas about, I'm not saying these are all of them, but these are the main ones. There's another dozen nafkaminas if you want to get obscure, you can throw on the board if you're not going to. Another set of nafkaminas might be not about the maisa geneva, but about the tashlume geneva. Now, I'm not saying what can't be mechalik. What about the shir tashlume? Is the shir tashlumen similar to the shir tashlumen of konim, or similar to the shir tashlumen of mazikin? Now, you can take one side of the hakira and say the shir tashlumen is a different side of the hakira. That's why I'm dividing the nafkaminas into types, because within the same type, the nafkaminas should go together more. Then another type, you could always say, the maisa is one of the konim, but the shir tashlumen is slightly different. But what's one of the? There are actually two. One of them is, we'll have to get to a little later. But one of the classic nafkaminas, one of the coolest tashlume mazik, anyone ever learned Baba Kama? In what way are we makel on tashlume mazik? No, I mean in the shir tashlumen, I mean when you're high, when you're pocket. No, they're the same. Kolagaz lona misham shasak zeila, and a mazik has to pay like shasa hezik. Uvier b'stei acher. What's the drasha of uvier b'stei acher? Agav stei acher. Right. This is what the Griz deals with. That letter in the back. Those letters in the back of the Griz are worth their weight in gold. Of course, the rumor in YU is that they were all written to the Rav, but I'm sure the rumor every place it was written to whoever they were written to was.
One resistant
claim
for
sure.
The one about Kesef
Kedusha. Yeah, I think I also heard that from explicitly. So the Griz in the letter back there, I should have even brought in the Griz because his Lashon is just very nice. He says, there's a kula in mazik called Shaman al-Gav Stei Acher, which means, to put it in very simplistic terms, there's a lot of Bachlok Tanam and Amorim and et cetera about exactly the details which are not important for us now. It means you pay the wholesale price, not the retail price. The classic example is, what does it mean Shaman al-Gav Stei Acher? If I let my animal go, I'm not careful, and my animal goes and eats a kilogram of wheat from your field. Now, a kilogram of wheat might be worth 2 shekel, whatever it is. I have no idea. But if you look at a field, that's the retail price. How about what's the wholesale price? You have a field with 1 kilogram more, with 1 kilogram less. What's the difference? It's going to be only 1 shekel, the wholesale price. Come on. Someone's buying a field, they don't say, well, every kilogram more or less is the full retail price. No, that's the nature of wholesale, right? That it's cheaper in wholesale. So there's a kula in mazik that I pay the wholesale price. That's called shaman al-gav stei acher. And this is exactly what the Griz discusses in that letter in page 160. He says, it sounds like from the Rambam that I pay the wholesale price, that a ganif also, if a ganif seals chavitza at the tamri, he only pays the wholesale price of the whatever the case works out there with the Ubaris. And the Griz himself says, no, it can't be. He can't mean that. He must be talking about mazik, but a ganif has to be the retail price. Right? And then he makes it okimta. He says, no, he only meant if, like, I pick fruits from the tree, and I'm, sounds like the Rama meant, if I pick fruits from the tree, that's stealing. A thief pays the wholesale price. I don't pay the retail price of the fruits. I pay the wholesale price of, like, what the tree would be worth with more fruits or with less fruits. Says the Griz, no, it can't be. Obviously, it can't be. Absolutely can't be true. Impossible. He must mean if I pick unripe fruits and damage them, because when you pick an unripe fruit, you ruin it. Okay, so here's the question of what about the din of Shamin al-Gabe? Not stay acher, it's probably sada acher. Shaman al gabi sada acher, right? So the pshat in the Rambam is that a ganaf, is that this rule applies to a gazlan or a ganaf? Yeah, a ganaf also. If I steal, now let me just be clear, I don't mean wholesale and retail the way we're always used to think about it. If you have an apple on your desk and I steal an apple, I pay the retail price. So I stole an apple. What I mean is, if you have a field of apples and I steal an apple, then I don't pay the retail price of one apple. I look at it in the context of the field, and I only pay how much it would be worth, make your field worth more or less to have one more or one less apple, which is clearly a lot less. So what I mean is, you only pay the wholesale price of mazik if you stole, if you were mazik when it was wholesale. Fine.
But this comes with insurance all the time.
Yeah, all the time. This is in modern day economy, this is a big question. What's the price of something, right? In insurance, that's one of the big things that most Balabatim don't know about insurance policies, is that you think you're insured for the full price, but it depends what full price means. There's many different ways to evaluate full price, and needless to say, everyone evaluates it in a way that's convenient for them. But full price is not purchase price. Okay, that might be not exactly the same issue, but clearly, so the Pshat of the Rambam applies to a goslet, and what did the Gris say? He says, why would that be? That's a din of mazik. Why would you apply a rule of mazik to goslanim? I don't understand you. So what I say back is, no, I do understand the Rambam. The Gris also, I'm sure, all along this, I know, I'm sure he knew. He didn't mean I don't understand, because I can't think, I'm too big to think of the Svara. What he meant is, I don't think that's the right shot intuitively, but the Rambam might have been on the re side. No, Gnev is a slightly different kind of mazik. Okay, it's a special kind of mazik. And therefore, Gnev, it's a very chomer kind of mazik, but it's still within the realm of mazik, so I should pay Agav Stei Acher. The Griz reinterprets the Rambam and says, can't be. Again, what does he say? When did the Rambam say I paid the wholesale price for picking apples? If I picked unripe apples and ruined them and did a hesed, doesn't mean if I stole them. Which is a chiddush. The Gris says, nope, that does not apply to a ganef. The ganef pays full retail price. That makes perfect sense according to the Ritva orientation. If a ganef is about buying something without getting permission, then I should have to pay however much I would pay to buy this. If it's about, and you think of it, if it's about what I enrich myself with one apple. Who cares if it came from a bowl with one apple or a field with 3,000 apples? That's the Gris. But if I look at the damage to you is very different. If I steal an apple from your lunchbox, you lost the, you know, dollar that it costs to buy an apple in the bodega. If I steal an apple from your field, you lost, 15 cents that now you're going to get, the distributor is going to pay you less after taking off expenses from your field. So from the victim's perspective, Shad and the Rambam makes sense. From the Goslin's perspective, the Gris makes sense. And I think they're arguing about this Chakira. Some of the other issues, which are very subtle, that's why I put them in brackets. But there's a famous 2 days in Tosos, in Bava Kama Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, and some other places, about the fascinating question of Dina Degarmi. Dina Degarmi means our mayor says you have to pay for indirect damages. That's what our mayor done Dina Degarmi. One of the big mysteries in the history of Judaism is how come we pasuk that way. How can we pasuk like our mayor done Dina Degarmi, that he makes people pay for indirect damages? Well, we pasuk in Groma ben Ezekin Potter that indirect damages you're potter for. Okay, that is one of the big mysteries in the history of Judaism. I mean, it's not such a mystery, because all the Rishonim have written at length about it, including, most famously, the Ramban, his Kuntres Dina Degarmi, that our Rebbe has a sefer published about.
The Ramban was a brisker, correct.
Anyway, so, okay, we're not going to get into that now. We're not going to get into that, solving that mystery now, but Dina Degarmi is paying for indirect damages. So Tosfos here has 2 days. He's talking about if we hold like we do la halacha against Rav Shimon and Dover Gadol Lavka Mamadami. Let's say I steal something from you that indirectly damages you. Like, what's the case? Again, forget Dover Gadol Mamadami, which, you know, might be easier for some of us, harder for others. But forget Dover Gadol Mamadami. I steal from you you're a shomer. You were watching an ox. It became a shor haniskal. So now it's going to get stoned. And you desperately want to return this ox before it gets stoned to the owner, so you don't have to pay for your negligence. I steal it from you. So Tos says, so the Gemara assumes that I'm taka potter. So Tos says, why am I potter? Dina Degarmi, right? I caused the loss. When I steal it from you, now you have to pay the owner for your negligence. I caused you a loss. So Tosus has 2 days whether you could be chayiv and geneva because of Dina Degarmi or not. One day it says, you're right. If you hold Dina Degarmi like we hold the halacha, then I taka amaganif. Amaganif because of Dina Degarmi. The other day Tosus says, no, Dina Degarmi just makes you pay for your hezek. It doesn't make you into a ganif. So I know it's very subtle. Does Dina Degarmi make you into a ganif? If I steal something worthless, but that was gori mehefsid, am I a ganif or not? So, the case is very complex, I admit. In fact, the next line of graphs is even more complex. I might skip it with gomri. But what about Dina Degarmi? What if there's a case where I did not steal anything of value directly, but I indirectly caused you a hezek? Am I a ganif or not?
Who are you calling hezek to?
The shomer. Because now he's going to have to pay the bailim for the shor. I stole a shor at Nisko, which was worthless, and it was worthless to you, it was worthless to me, but I indirectly caused you a loss of money, because now the buyers are going to come and say, where's my ox? And you're going to have to pay. Well, before you could say, here's your ox, good luck in court. Or good luck on appeal. So this 2 days in Tosos, so l'chora, I think it could very well be, they're arguing about this chakira. If Gnev is about Hezek, then if Dina Degarmi, I mean, what makes me think? So Dina Degarmi is a din of mazik, right? So you might think, if Gnev is a type of mazik, then just like Dina Degarmi is Mechayiv mazik, Dina Degarmi, Deya, there's one Deya in Tosos, that says that Dina Degarmi is Mechayiv midin Gneva. You're a ganav to the Dina Degarmi. That's one day in Tosos. Well, that makes sense. If it's about being mazik, Dina Degarmi considers this a valid hezek. So if it's a valid hezek, then you're a ganav. The other day in Tosos says that he's chayav midin mazik, but he's not a ganav. You're right. He's chayav midin mazik for causing this garmi, but he's not a ganav. Meaning, he's not chayav keva. Right? One day in Tosos says, I can't believe the ganif, he has all the rules of ganif. Then he says, no, you're a mazik to the Dina Degarmi, but you're not a ganif. It could be that this is exactly what they're arguing about. If you're talking about how much I damaged you, then Dina Degarmi says indirect damages count, so I damaged you and it counts and I should be chayiv. If you're talking about how I enriched myself, I stole a shor nisko, which was zero. If you steal zero, you're not a ganif. I don't care how much I damaged you directly, indirectly, whatever. If you're talking about enriching myself, I haven't enriched myself. I've stolen something which is zero. Who cares about mazik? Of course, if dover gron mama is kumama dami, that's a different story. Because then if dover gron mama, maybe itself is like mama. But we're not getting to that sheet now. Joe.
I have a question. I'm both on 6 and 7. What's forcing us to say, in order to be a ganav, you have to do a mazik hezek? But it doesn't mean with sofosha devar you're mazik. You're a ganav in the end. And that might be the reason.
Okay, I fully admit that these clearly are more subtle, meaning if we were learning this one by one, you know, like, you know, 2-3 nafkaminas a week and going through these sugyas inside, we would point out they're more subtle. Of course, you could say that even if it is within the realm of mazik, shaman al deshachar is only for a regular mazik. This is this unique kind of mazik.
No, I don't even mean to say that.
You mean it's a maisa hezek? It's a maisa hezek. Okay, that I think I'm saying. You could say when it comes to the first set, it's a maisa hezek. But the nature of chiyuv is not for maisa hezek. The nature of chiyuv is a different type of chiyuv. So I admit you could separate the maisa that makes you chayiv with the nature of your chiyuv. I fully admit.
Is that any different than Rav Chaim in the Sefer in Hilchos Geneva, where he said that any hezek done in the context of Geneva is considered a Geneva?
Let's wait till I read that line, and then we'll see what I think of that. Okay, this other nafkamina with Shtoros, with Tosfos and Shavuos, I think is in... It's a little subtle. I'll put it on the board, but it's a little tricky. How about we'll leave it out for now. Okay. I think this one was already tricky. The most interesting nafkaminas are already going on to the next Makoros sheet. The most interesting nafkaminas are not just what act is gneva, which is one set of nafkaminas, two ways to think about it, an act of kinyan, or an act of, which is where we got started, or an act of mazik, or what the nature of your chiv to pay, your chiv to pay as a mazik, or your chiv to pay as a ganav kone, but is a ganav actually kone? If we notice, the The Tosos in Avodah Zarah that Rabbi Chanan quoted said, well, after all, a ganav is not really koneh, so how seriously can we take this kinyan idea, right? Which is why, at first, that clearly sounded like the re, until he started to try to make it more subtle, right? So, is it true, is a ganav koneh or not? Clearly, our intuition is, both halachically, without getting into deep lumdus, and intuitively, is a ganav koneh or not? What's our intuition?
Yeah. No.
You never heard of Mike doesn't make right? Right? I think anyone who's been to kindergarten, their intuition should be, of course a ganav's not koneh, and Mike doesn't make right. It's not yours, right? And halachically, we all know that a ganav's not koneh, on the very practical sense, right? Meaning on the surface level. In lumbus, you go beneath the surface. But you have to start with the surface. Can't go beneath the surface until you've seen the surface. On the surface level, we know a ganav's not koneh, because if I steal something, it doesn't belong to me, right? If I steal, I think last time I stole from Charlie. If I steal from Charlie Hexter, and he wasn't Misyaish, neither of us can make it Hektish. He can't because it's not Bershuso, it's not in his possession. And I can't because it's not Shalom, because it doesn't belong to me. Clearly it doesn't belong to a ganav. That's where we start. Now the question is to go a little deeper beneath the surface. So if we go deeper beneath the surface, we want to ask a third set of nafkaminas, which is, Kinyane Gzeila. Is a ganav koneh or not? And the answer is no, so we would think, Shalom al Yisrael, why are you making silly chakiras? But there are two reasons we need to make very not silly chakiras. One is, this chakira seems to, you know, there's sometimes in the Gemara seems very, like, not brisker, and then the briskers try and, like, stick in. Sometimes, like, the Gemara seems like it was written by Reb Chaim. What does that prove? Fascinating question. It probably proves that, you know, no one in their different drachma, darkei alimut are crazy, and they're all part of Talmud Torah. But okay, that's an unpopular position nowadays, so I won't push it. The Gemara Sanhedrin Ayin Beis Amin Aleph seems to have this chakira spoken out by two Amoraim. The Amoraim are arguing about. They're arguing about lumdus beneath the surface. They're arguing a medayik from the Reisha, and why did the Reisha have to say that the Sefer, why did they have to say it? The Sefer must be an extra word to teach us whatever. No, they're arguing that lumdus beneath the surface in very brisker terminology. What's the case? The case is, habab machteris v'natal kelim v'yotza potter. Rav says, if I'm above machteris, what's unique about above machteris? Above machteris can be killed. That's called the chi of misa. So this can go to Ramine. So what about a ganav bechimle v'rabine? Right, it doesn't have to be his case of bab machteris. It could also be the case we just had of dragging it out on Shabbos, which the Gemara connects right there in that sugya, right? If I steal bechimle v'rabine, I'm potter. Okay, of course I'm potter. We know bechimle v'rabine is potter. That's no big deal. I mean, everyone agrees. If I steal bechimle v'rabine b'machteris or b'Shabbos, and then there's an earthquake and the ganav gets broken, and you come and sue me, says, even though it was an earthquake, you're chayv ba'unsin because you're a ganav, so I want you to have to pay me for your ganav. I say, no, I'm potter, kidlin rab me. The interesting question is this. What if, and this is going to sound very counterintuitive, meaning it's very much against our common sense, at least one position is that we don't paskal like is against our common sense, but that doesn't mean that it is not a good logical case. There is a very good logical case. What if I steal something b'machteres or b'shabbos or any other type of kindler remedy you want to invent? I steal your iPhone. But b'machteres, I steal your iPhone. Okay, without getting into whether iPhones are Risur Hanah, Goran Lumam and Garmi, let's assume iPhones are Motor Hanah, they're worth their Shavikesa. So I steal your iPhone on Shabbos with the Megara V'yotzei and Kimlu Rabmine. Right? You'll tell me iPhones are Zutri. Okay. So we'll come up with another case. Fine. Or I steal your iPhone B'mach Teres. I steal your iPhone B'mach Teres. And I still have your iPhone. And I hold it up to your face and say, na 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 na, I have your iPhone. Do I have to give it back or not? So, Amar Rava. President Mistabrius and Rav Sheshiber de Lesnehu. Well, in a few blocks, we'll get into exactly what Sheber means. We're not going to get into that now. I will not allow. Rav says, no. If it breaks, I don't have to pay you because I'm Kim Ravide. But if I just have it, I'm holding it here, of course I have to give it back to you. Right? Of course I have to give it back. The Elokim. There's an oath. Rav afilu natal. Rav says, no, even if I have it, it's the end, I don't give it back. I can laugh all the way to the Wi-Fi. Alright, I can laugh. Right. Okay. So the now, but what's the svaras? So what's the svar of Rav? It's counterintuitive. So again, just something counterintuitive doesn't mean it's not eminently logical. It is eminently logical, says Rav. Says, hold on a second. A ganef is chayiv ba'umtsim. Why is a ganef chayiv ba'umtsim? I steal your iPhone on a regular day. Yesh lo dam. I steal your iPhone in a regular way, without any kimel rab minei. If it gets struck by lightning, I'm chayiv. Why am I chayiv to pay if it gets struck by lightning? It's not my fault. I don't mean I steal your iPhone and I bring it someplace dangerous, so I'm chayiv to pay. Okay, plush it. I don't mean I steal your iPhone and I leave it around and it gets, you know, and it gets kicked into reverse. No, I steal your iPhone and completely out of my control, it would have happened either way. I steal your iPhone and there's an earthquake. The earthquake would have killed it in your Rishos too. There's a lightning. The lightning would have gotten in your Rishos too. I'm chayiv. Why am I chayiv? Why am I chayiv ba'onsim? So he says, what does that prove? Why am I chayiv ba'onsim? I'm chayiv ba'onsim because it's mine. What's Rav saying? I'm chayiv ba'onsim because it's mine. The nature of chayiv ba'onsim is that it's mine. What does that mean? When I steal something, right? Who's chayiv ba'onsim? The classic chayiv ba'onsim. Basically, we're arguing about two different models of chayiv ba'onsim. One model of chayiv ba'onsim is not mentioned anywhere in Shas, except in this line of Rav. It's called a kone. If I go to the store and I buy a TV, and I walk out of the store and the TV gets struck by lightning, who's chayiv for the onsim? Who suffers the loss?
Me!
Why do I suffer the loss? Because it's my TV. You know, once I owe you the money, it's my TV, then tough luck on me. Says Rav, that explains why Ganav is chayiv ba'onsim. Because, why is he chayiv ba'onsim? Because he bought it. He bought it. He bought it, he owes the money. What if the Ganav have a kone? You ever have a kone who doesn't have to pay the money? I understand, if the guy wants to give him a free gift, the guy can decide to give it him for free and be nice and be mochel. But normally the rule is, if I get something from you, I have to pay you the price. If Ganav is a kone, he owes the money, he's kone. But we all know a Ganav's not kone, so what do you have to add for Rav? What do you have to add for Rav? This is Kim Leber to Rav Amine, right? What does Rav say? The Chi of Onsen slash Lama Chayav the Onsen. Rav said he's Chayav Onsen Kimo Kone, right? Ganav Kana the Chayav Domin. He was Kone, he just owes the price. Ah, but don't we say Ganav's not Kone? So what do you have to say? Don't we always say Ganav's not Kone? What do you have to say? Ah, the Ganav is Kone, but there's a Gzeres HaKasuv that overrides his Kinyan, the Heshuv Zegzeil Asher Gazal. Ah, if the Gzeres HaKasuv overrides his Kinyan, then why is he Chayiv Ba'onsim? Overall, his Kinyan was overridden. So give me the Drash, Asher Gazal. Someone finished the drash of the pasuk. What did Chazal say? Asher Gazal? Ke'ein Shagazal! As long as it's Asher Gazal, Ke'ein Shagazal, the Chiv Hashava overrides my Kenyan. Once it breaks,
there's nothing to return.
Then it's not Ke'ein Shagazal, even if there's something. If it breaks a little, it's not Ke'ein Shagazal anymore. Maybe it's still there, but it's not the same thing. Right? Ke'ein Shagazal. Once not Ke'ein Shagazal, there's no chayiv hashava. I revert to my kone. So kumo kone, ganav kone v'chayiv damin, except that while intact, the chayiv hashava suppresses or overrides his kinyan. Right?
Would you mind going over the pasuk again?
Yes. Overrides his kinyan. Yeah, though this is subtle, but it's ikker. This is probably the marker of all brisk in Shas, because it's probably the most brisker sugya in Shas. I'm not sure, but it might very well be. No, what are they doing? They're taking the chayiv onsim and trying to figure out what to compare that to be goyim milsa, the nature of neiva, and then discover the din of kimel rav minei by revealing the fundamental nature of neiva. that's a very brisker thing to do. Again, what does it say? There are two ways to understand why it's Chayv Onsen. One way to understand why it's Chayv Onsen, because every ganav is Kona. If you're Kona, you owe the money. After all, if an onus happens, you owe the money that it was worth when? When the onus happened? What's the first mission in the ninth parak of Baba Kama say?
From when you stole.
Right? If an onus happened, I'm not chayiv for what happened in the onus. I'm chayiv for stealing. What does that mean? When I steal something, I'm buying it. When I buy something, I owe the money. After all, if I walk into Sears and take a television and go to the counter, I owe them the money. Now, what if I walk into Sears at 2 a.m. and take a television and go out the fire escape? I also owe them the money. I bought it and I owe them the money. I just didn't have permission, so I've done an aveira instead of a mitzvah or a rishus. So, I bought it, I owe the money. It's mine, I merely owe the price. That's why I'm chayv onsen. If it's mine, then why is it only mine when an onus happens? Why is it mine even when it's intact? So, because as long as it's intact, there's a chayv hashava, v'heshev zagzela, ke'en shagazal. As long as asher gazal means not that which I stole, but alpi torshim alpeh means that is in the same state that I sold it. As long as the same state, that's what Hashem says. Hashem says very posh. He says, every ganav did a transaction without permission. But it's a transaction, he still owes the money. But why is ganav chayiv onsim? He's not chayiv for the onsim. He's chayiv for buying the object. He has to pay the price. But Hashem put a chumra on this ganav. Of course you bought it, you have to pay the price. But as long as it's still intact and you could like undo what you did, I'm suppressing your kenyan, overriding your kenyan, and forcing you to return it. The chiyav hashava, as long as you hashava ma'alya, the chiyav hashava overrides the kenyan. However, if you would get rid of the chiyav hashava, such as it's not the chiyav hashava, let's say it breaks, now the chiyav hashava was paka, chiyav hashava disappeared because you can't do it anymore, then the kenyan comes into play. Basically, what we're saying is I'm going to have to erase the board at some point. Okay, fine. But basically what we're saying is that now the we're gonna rewrite this. As a matter of fact, why not just who's my okay here. We just need some more room. Okay?
Good.
Apologize, but boards are only so large, or rather, my handwriting is too large. What I want to say is here we have three kinyane gneva or gzela, right? So basically, the question is here's the fundamental question. The fundamental question is if not for the chiyav hashava, is the ganav kone legamri? If not for the chiyav hashava, is he kone legamri? Right? Kone legamri. If not for the chiyav hashava, is he kone legamri? There are two ways to look at this. I'm not saying it has to be totally on the reinritz bond. This is already Roman numeral 3. It could be. It certainly is parallel. It certainly seems to be. But one can be chal between the Maisa and the Tosa. Mm-hmm. One way of understanding is that, yes, a ganef is a kone. It's only the chiva shava that overrides, yes. Ganef equals kone v'chayav damin, but the chiva shava overrides, the chiva shava overrides the kenyan. Or you could say, no. Why should a ganef be kona? A ganef's not kona. Why should it be kona? There's a ganef can't be kona. To be kona, you need das matna. To be kona, you need permission. And this might be totally on a more fundamental hakira. I know what Blitzen likes to say. This is totally on a more fundamental hakira of whether kinyan is about what you deserve or what you have. If kinyan is about what you have, then a ganef is a kona. The king is not what you deserve, then a ganav is not a kone. Okay, that's how he explained it in a very fundamental fashion. What? Does bailus mean what you have a right to, or bailus mean what you practically have control over? Meaning, not does chashal might doesn't make right. Might doesn't make right, but does might make bailus, or does right make bailus? Even though might doesn't make right, it might make bailus. I mean, we're not Nietzsche. Right? Might doesn't make right, but it might make bailus in a technical legal sense. That's the chakira here that Rav Lichtenstein said to take it deeper, but we're not going to deal with that right now. I'll have to use that right now. No, Ganush is not kohen at all. It's still belongs 100% to the Bialim because can't be kohen without das machne. You can go to Hector without das machne. You can't become someone's property without permission. So now, this is the machlokas between Rav and Rava l'chora. What's the nafgamina? The first nafgamina is basically what we're talking about is there are three cases where there's no chiyuv hashava. Two are in Rav and Rava. What if there's no chiyuv hashava? One case there's no chiyuv hashava. Kimlid Ramine, there's no chiyuv hashava because you're not chayiv, right? Kimlid Ramine, there's no chiyuv hashava because you're not chayiv. And how about onsim? When an onus happens, there's no chiyuv hashava because once it got broken, you can't return it anymore. So what does Rav say? Let's look at this. Rav says, why are you chayiv onsim? You're chayiv onsim because you were kona. You're chayiv onsim because you were kona. What about the chiyuv hashava? You're chayiv onsim and the onus cancels the chiyuv hashava. That is what Rav seems to be saying, right? Why are you chayiv onsim? You're chayiv onsim because you stole it. Just like a guy who buys a TV from B&H Photo and on the way home gets struck by light, the TV gets struck by lightning and breaks, the guy's chayiv onsim. Why? Because it's his TV. It's his problem. He already bought it. So that was a guy who already bought it. Why did you have to give back? That's chiyuv hashava. Well, once you get struck by lightning, you can't be Meishiv anymore. It's not Asher Gazal. It's not Mezeel Asher Gazal. And therefore, what does Rav learn from there? Rav, the arrows go this way, he learns from Onsen Gun Ramine that the Ganav can keep it, Ganav can keep the object. He does. Why? Because Kimlid Ramine takes away the Chiyuv HaShava. Without a Chiyuv HaShava, he's Kona. Why? Because Kimlid Ramine cancels the Chiyuv HaShava. Once there's no Chiyuv HaShava, it's his. So you can laugh all the way to the bank and get in Kolbez and kills him. But the Bob Machberis can laugh all the way to the bank, Mamish, because he likes to kill him. Correct, he can laugh all the way to the bank. Or if you hold that even Tana Bechitsky would apply in this case, he can laugh all the way to the bank. And he gets to keep it. Why? Because every guy of his kona except for the pesky Chiv Hashava bothering him. And here he's exempt from the Chiv Hashava. What if we just wanted to take Rav one step further? Not yet. What does Rava say? Rava says no. Rava disagrees. We hold like Rava, by the way, so it ends up not being counterintuitive. Meaning, if you meet someone, you meet a guy on the street and he asks you what the din is, you tell him Rava, he'll understand it. He doesn't have to be a brisker guy. Right? But, you know, like that guy. From Rulis this year.
Oh,
yeah. What does Rava say back to him? Velohi, no, you're wrong. Heal Kim Narachman of Rishu Sailing in own sinable, and you make never shoes in a Marayu Kaimi, me to the Avaya Shoel. What does Rava say back? No. I understand it's like his for the purpose of own sin. You're right, for the purpose of own sin, it's like it's his, ain't a Hanami. But not for a Kenyan Mamish. Not for a Kenyan Mamish. It's not really his for Kenyan. For Onsim, it's like it's his. Midi Dahava, what's the model?
Sure.
The model is a Kone. No, the model is a Shoel. Did anyone think it belongs to the Shoel? Does anyone think the Shoel bought it? He just borrowed it. Now, that's not just yet observant. You actually could say, Ena Konami, if you know Tosfos, but we don't yet, so we're okay. A Shoel, if I borrow something, you're a Chayiv Onsim. Why? Because I bought it? No, obviously Shoel didn't buy it. He just borrowed it. Why is Chayiv Onsim? Because there are some people who are Chayiv Onsim, even though it doesn't belong to them. Right? That proves that the model being Chayiv. Not only that. Anyone remember what the Gemara says on Lord Mitzia? Why is it fair that Shoel is Chayiv Onsim? Anyone remember? Three words. Kol Hanah Shelo, right? Unlike the other three Shomrim, he gets all the benefit, right? A Socher doesn't get all the benefit, he uses it, but he has to pay. Shomer Socher doesn't get all the benefit, he gets money, but he has to work. A Shomer Chinam doesn't get all the benefit, he's doing a favor and gets nothing. A shovel gets all the benefit. He doesn't have to pay. He doesn't have to do anything. And he gets the use of something. So therefore, because kol hanashelo, again, I'm going to take it in the way that this gemara sounds like, because kol hanashelo, therefore he's chayv an unsim. What does that mean? That just means that if someone gets all the hanah for themselves, then it's fair for them to take responsibility. The ganav is also kol hanashelo, right? He's not paying anything. He's not compensating you, and he's taking your object. So therefore, the shoal is kol hanashelo, and it should be chayv an unsim. The ganav also. He said it's a different model. The model is not konah. The model is shoal. He says it's just a chayv unsim. Not a full Kenyan. Okay, I'm choosing my words carefully. It's just a chiyav onsim, not a full Kenyan. It's like a shoel. Now, therefore, what does he say? Therefore, he says that the ganef has to return it if the item is ben, right? If the item is ben, then the ganav has to return it. Obviously, he's not having an onsen. We're not going to make him pay money to Kimlin-Ramni. But if the item is then he has to return it, why? Why does he have to return it? After all, Kimlin-Ramni shouldn't be punished. It says very poshut. Because returning it is not a punishment. It just belongs to the violin. It's not, I can't remember anybody who will punish you. It's not a punishment to return it. What do you mean? You're not returning it. It's his. It's just, I don't understand. If your watch happens to fall into my pocket, right? So is it a punishment? Is it a chai of me to return it? Not a chai of me to return it. It's just his. So of course he comes and takes it. That's the machlokas, Rav and Rav. If there's no chiyuv in Kimlin Ramni, who does it belong to? Rav is the machudish brisker way saying, it's really the ganav's kona, if not for chiyuvim. And here, there's no chiyuvim, the ganav's kona. Rav says, what are you talking about? The ganav's not kona, and he didn't taste it. He's chayiv and owns him, but it's not his. Even though there's no chiyuvim, you're right, the ganav doesn't have to pay anything. The ganav has no chiyuvim. But he still has to give the guy's item back because it's the guy's item.
So why?
That's not a punishment.
So why even in the tunnels you chayiv for, corner rabbi?
What?
Why even in the tunnels you chayiv for? If there's no chiv, then it's not lav. It's not a chiv that's to return it. It's not chiv.
Correct. Rabbi would say technically I'm not chayiv to return it. Meaning if you go to Madai, I don't have to pay postage to Madai. He just means that if you ask for it, I have to give it back to you because it's your property.
So why the kimle at all then, according to rabbi?
There is no kimle. Oh, the kimle is if it breaks. If it breaks, there's kimle. If it breaks, the only reason I have to pay is because I stole, and one of the chiyuvim of the thief is chiyuvim, so I'm part of chiyuvim. That's what Rav said, Bishah Shiva. Okay, another nafkamina of this would be, what's another case when the Torah never says a chiyuv hashava? Who do I steal from and the Torah never says I have a chiyuv hashava?
Ger who died.
No, there I talk to do a chiyuv hashava, which is a very funny one. Anyone, but against a lakum. What about Gezel Akum? Right? Right? That's a good one. Right? Ish ki yimol ma'al v'chim, ish ki yimol ma'al v'ashem, v'chichesh ba'ami so v'fi gadon obisumis yadob gezel oshakes amito. Okay? For a Jew, the chiv hashava. And with chiv hashava, the chiv washing zelos, if you swear falsely, etc. No chiv hashava for a guy. So here's what's fascinating about the Urayim versus the Nasivos. What would you think? What about Gezel Akum? What's fascinating about both the Urayim and the Nesivos, but not the Igros Moshe brackets, which we're not getting into, is that they both say this Shaila has nothing to do with Gezel Akum Mutter or Usser. Gezel Akum Mutter or Usser means what are you allowed to do? I don't care about that. What I care is who does it belong to? Gezel Akum, right? Who does it belong to? So, what do you think Rava should say? What should Rava say? If I steal from a guy, I have no chiv hashava. Who does it belong to? What? It belongs to the guy. That is the shita of the uranium. Why? Because remember what Rava said. No, there's no kinyan. It still belongs 100% to the bailiff. Right? So what does he say? The uranium says, even if Gezel Akum is mutter, it still belongs to the guy. Even if Gezalakim is mutter, I mean, I don't care if it's Asur or mutter. Even if Gezalakim is mutter, it's still not yours. You weren't kone, happy to be kone something without permission of the owner. It still belongs to the guy. And therefore, what does he say? He says, if you steal, someone steals from a guy, someone steals a lula from a guy, whether Gezel guy is Asur or mutter, doesn't matter. It's still not your lulav, it's his lulav, so you can't use it for the mitzvah. It's possible it's not lachem. That's the Urim. And that seems exactly like Rava Shita, right? Rava says, well, I mean, who cares if Gezel guy is Asur mutter? That's a matter of what you're allowed to do, not a matter of who it belongs to. So, it belongs to the guy. After all, who ever heard of a kenyan without permission of the owner? But what does the Nesiva say back to the Urim? This is a wild Nesiva. Okay, it's not as much for Chiddush saying Nesivas was brisker before his time, because that's Yadua. The Nesivas says here, in not the same for Nesivas, one of the interesting things about the Nesivas, as we know, is that he wrote many, many more Svarim than the Ktos. Ktos only wrote a couple of Svarim, three to be precise. And the Nesivas wrote Svarim on everything. Some of them more classic, like just more Masechtas and Shas and parts of Shulchan Aruch. And then some of them on, sort of, not as yeshivish topics, like for example, he wrote a Siddur, Derech HaChayim, and he wrote the Haggadah, Maisa Nisim, and he wrote his Perushan Megillus, etc., etc. So here's the Nesivas, a sefer called the Kehilas Yaakov. The Kehilas, not the Stipler Kehilas Yaakov. This is the Kehilas Yaakov, but the Nesivas, the Kehilas Yaakov of the Nesivos. Yeah, the Nesivas. I think I wrote that on the Makor sheet, so you wouldn't think it was the Stipler. This is the Kehilas Yaakov of the Nesivas. Kehilas Yaakov of the Nesivas is his parish on Hilchas Isha, Hilchas Kedushin in the Shulchan Aruch. I think technically also part of the Yontif might have also been called Kehilas Yaakov and published together. He has many different Svarim on each part of the Shulchan Aruch. He called it a little different, right? It's Chavos Das on Yerodeyan, Nesivas on Mishpat and Choshen Mishpat, and on Evin Ezer it's Toras Gittin on the Get parts, and Kehilas Yaakov on the Kiddushin parts, and on Or Chaim, it's the Chok Yaakov on Chametz, Chametz Umatz, and many others. Okay, so what do you say here? This is a great Nesivas. Kitcha Begezel Begnevas Kuti Mekudeshes. Ayin, in like a month and a half, we'll have to see how it stems with the different Nesivas. We'll have to think about it then, in the actual Nesivas book. Kitcha Begezel Begnevas Kuti Mekudeshes. Ayin Beit Shmuel Sivkat and Hay. The Beit Shmuel is just the main parish on the side of Shulchan Aruch Evin Ezer. Shikasa, the Amplimat is really Isidor Raisa, Mikol Makam, Halokeh, Mandalo, Chashav, Rakav, Kasalva. Even if Gezel Goy is Usher, someone who takes it from the Gazlan is only not repaying it to Mutter, given to us the other day, which is Mutter, because you didn't do anything wrong, you didn't steal it. Being a female Shikasa, River Lazarim admits that River Lazarim gets to be a rain. Huva, Be'ar Chayim, Bimagin of Rum, Sim, and Tafri, Slam, Zayim, where it belongs, and Hokus Lulav, Sif, Kut, and Gimel. The Abdel Mutter says, even if Gezel Goy is Mutter, Kamakam, Chashav, Lechem, it still doesn't belong to you. Belongs to him, right? Because Gave is not a Kenyan. I don't care if it's mutter. Not only is no Kila Shabbat, even if it's mutter, it's still not a Kenyan. In Kenyan, I feel because I'll Akam Ingam Kadeshis. If so, then if I sold something in Gaiz or Kaddish, it wouldn't be valid Kedushin. Okay, don't bring me up the Mishnah Melech in the beginning of the fifth record of Apple's Ishus. Now let's assume that if it doesn't belong to me, it's not a valid Kedushin. Kava and Dolokansa. The Aplafi. Mash because of a Rambam, Perikhes, and Lulav, Yosu, Esther, from Meister Shane, Ashu, Mom, Gavoa, the Game Shane, Shalah, Heterophilo, Loda, Heterophilo, Loda, Mikhail, the Shane, Shalbai, 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 it's not his. It still belongs to the guy. If it's not his, then if he gives it to her, it's not hers. So obviously it's not Kedushin. He says, it's not even if Meister Shani is Mom and Gavoa, that's valid. That's because Meister Shani, even if you call Mom and Gavoa, it's still mine. Meaning, you could call Meister Shani Mom and Gavoa, it's still mine. You can't take my Meister Shani. It says, Gezel Akum. If Gezel Akum is Mutter, not only is it Mutter for me to steal from the guy, then it's Mutter for you to take it from me and for him to take it from you. It's Mutter for everyone to steal it forever. It's just one big hefker belt. Because it still belongs to the original guy. So therefore he says, of course I came in contact with Gezel Akum. It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to anyone. It's Hefker. That's the Nesiva. That's the Urim. What does the Nesiva say? The Nesiva comes and says, Amna l'fimash erachdi b'tmura. I always heard me piashmua from the Rav, that, I mean, indirectly, that Rav Chaim made this diuk from Tmura. But then I discovered it's not Rav Chaim's diuk from Tmura, it's the Nesivus' diuk from Tmura. What's the Nesivus' diuk from Tmura? It says, according to what I explained in Tmura and Sugi, the Kamash Amrachman, Lo Savidi, Ovid Lamahani, the Kol Gzeila, we'll get back to her in a second. Kol Gzeila, Ilav Dixiv, I mean, it couldn't be more explicit, right? Meaning, you might have told him I was talking nonsense, okay? Unless you're willing to say the Nesivus is talking nonsense, which is a risk I would not suggest anyone take, then now you have to admit. What does the Nesivus say? He says, Ilav Dixiv, Ehesh V'Zagzeila Shir Gazal, Darshinu Kashir Gazal, Shem Egzeila Kayyam Tukhuri V'Lat Shivo, Hachanami Kani L'Gamrei L'Gazlin. What do you mean? The gazel is kornel gamri from after the chiva shava. Came to hikel arachman of chayv olmsin. The gzeila by kinyan, right? Because the Torah made it your kinyan be chayv olmsin. If it's your kinyan be chayv olmsin, it's your kinyan. And then he says he brings it back to the re and the ritzvah. What does he say? He says, sorry, the gzeila by kinyan and mishiko kinyan chotzer. Right? He says, how do I know gzeila the gazel is kone? He ties this back to where we started. He says, the reason I know that in the result he's Tomnet is because of the process. He needs a real kinyan, the sheikh or a chatzer. Obviously, he has in mind the ritzvah and not the re. If you said he didn't need a real kinyan, the sheikh would come crashing down. That means no. Gaza needs a kinyan. It's all about kinyan. If it's all about kinyan, he's Tomnet. And it's totally his. He's responsible. It goes up or down in value. Rock! Came the chatzer of Haitian Exela, Akasher Gazal. I accept the Heshav Zayla as long as the Zayla is Kayem as the Batal Kenyan. Fine. And therefore he ends. Mashenkin because Al Akum loves the Heshav. This doesn't say the Heshav at Akum. Yeshav Kenyan Gopher Bagzayla. Afon Shvila Gezalakum Osir. They call Makum Bagzayla Kanilo the Gamri, Rakdomen, Kayemlo, Hagazlan, Biachalimpa, the Heshav Kashus. What does he say? What does the Nesiva say? Or the Kilos Yaakov of the Nesivas? He says the opposite. Even if Gezalakum is Osir, Gezel Akum is Osir means you shouldn't do it. And not only that, he can sue you in court for the monetary value, right? He can sue you in court, you owe him the money, but you're still Kona the object. Ah, he can still sue you in court for the money, but you own the object. What does he say? Even if Gezel Akum is Osir, still, it belongs to the Ganef. If the guy sues you, you might owe him money. But it's your object. It's lachem. You can use it for the lulav esrog on Sukkos. If you're Makadish with it, it's a valid kedushin. It's yours for so you see how both of them agree. It has nothing to do with Gezel Akum Asur and Mutter. It has to do with the Lundus of Zela. It's not about what we think of Akums. It's about the Lundus of Zela. I don't care if it's Asur or it's Mutter. The question is, if there's no Chiva Shava, who does it belong to? And Mikhilas Yaakov says, if there's no Chiva Shava, don't you remember what Rav said in Sanhedrin? If there's no Chiva Shava, it belongs to the Ganef if there's no Chiva Shava. And the Urain says, don't you remember Rav in Sanhedrin? Even if there's no Chiva Shava, it still doesn't belong to the Ganef. Why would it belong to the Ganef? He never did a Kinyan.
So how is the Kosaka passing against?
Aha, so that's the interesting question, which is, how does the Kilos Yaakov paskin against Rava? Now, if you want to do, you could even say, we hold like Rav, why can't we hold like Rav against Rava? Except that the end of the Gemara ends with a Vehilchasa. Vehilchasa Shadinu Menari. Hilchasa, you're only potter if it falls in the river, not if you still have it. Vehilchasa is clearly like Rava.
Yeah, but don't we sometimes say, even when the verse is Hilchasa, they're always paskin that way? Isn't that true?
Maybe, but you'd need a marker for that.
That would mean you had to be like Lashitasa all even for a Jew. I mean, even for a Jew, you don't need.
Correct. That means he has to be Lashitasa. Now, which he
probably isn't.
But we'll get to that in a second.
Also, okay. Saying this machlokes goes on. This goes on in the Rishonim. This mahalchim between the Reem and the Ritzvah. You see these two mahalchim. So you see it keeps on going beyond the Gemara.
Okay, correct. But you still have a valid question. Who is that question? The Rabbi Chanan asked that question that's right here on this page. Rabbi Chanan asked this question. Rabbi Chanan Taka asked this question. Rabbi Chanan asked, one second. Where are we? Oh, we're on page 14. I'll just point out that another example of this is, maybe we should write 8 to 11 and then we'll get to Rabbi Chanan. And then we'll answer your question, okay? Is Shinoi Kona. Shinoi Kona is like Onsen, meaning these are Kimlev Rabine, Gezel Akum, are practical Nakaminas. P for practical. Om Sim and Shinui Kona are S for Svarin Afkamidas. We all know Shinui's Kona, meaning if a Ganav steals something and it's Nishtana, it changes, he's Kona. We all know Gaya Chaylia Om Sim. Here's just a question of Svarin, right? So, as we don't need six letters, I'll just write. Chi of Om Sim, why? Shinui Kona, why? Why is Shinui Kona? So here is what the Nesiva said to the Gemara in Tmura. What did the Nesiva say based on the Gemara in Tmura? The Nesiva said that the Gemara in Tmura has, this is actually a difficult Gemara, the famous Sugya in Tmura, some of us have learned Tmura, lo mizman kokach. No, this is the only Sugya in Tmura that's famous. This is, I think authentically, this is the, I think if you ask your average Ram in any, I think if you ask a Ram in any Haredi Shiva in Yerushalayim, they tell you there's not two and not zero, there's one famous Sugya in Tmura and this is it. So, the most famous Sugya in Tmura is, I actually have a, yeah, I actually know someone very fascinating, if anyone's more of a, into Mechkar than Brisker Lundus. Some professor in New York just found out through like his wife who's at NYU that some art professor at NYU had some like very, very old books, and like inside the binding of them when they used to recycle paper are old manuscripts of Tmura, which might be a different resource than the ones that we're used to. So we're still waiting for that paper to be published.
Kaplan used to say go to bookstores and you would find a lot of things. The peg was scarce.
More often than not in my personal experience, which is books published in the last 200 years, is that you have Sifrei Kodesh and inside the binding are newspapers. So that's not as exciting. You know, when most Sifrei Kodesh 100 years ago, you find newspapers. But if you go back further than that, you will find, so this is probably the first, you know, new Gemara, new Gersa in the Gemara found in a long time. So someone, anyone wants to do a project, just sneak into all the libraries and universities, find all the old secular books, and rip open the bindings and see if you come up with anything. So, okay, but back to our topic. The most famous sugya in Maseches Tmura is Kol Milsa de Amarachon Lo Savid Yavid Lahani Yavid Lo Mahani. Right now you admit I'm right.
Okay,
he's moving it. See, once I said it, he knew it was famous. I was right. So, the meaning, whenever the Torah tells you to do something, whenever the Torah asks for something, does that mean if you do it, it works, but you're morally culpable? Or does that mean if you do it, it doesn't work? Okay, obviously you see what that has to do with Torah, because that's the sort of the conundrum underlying all Maseches Tmura, that the Torah told you not to do Tmura, but Yahuwah Tmura, Torah Yakodesh, that it seems to work, without getting into all the lundas, and that's how we get into this. So the Gemara says there, but the Torah said, don't steal. The Torah said, don't steal. And yet, it works. And yet, stealing works. How do you know stealing works? So the Gemara says in Tmura, right here, I think it's on Daf Vav, if I recall correctly. The Torah says, here we are. Vari Gezel, the Rachman Amr Lo Sigzel, Utsanana Gozel Eitzim Asan Kelim Tzem Rasan Begadim Ashan Gshas Sagzela. The Torah says not to steal. If you steal something and do a shinui to it, you're Kona. Right? So that proves that stealing works. So what does that mean that proves that stealing works? How does that prove that stealing works? Because shinui Kona. So, explains the Nesivas, this is also a Rav Chaim, it's Bipya Shmuel and Tmura. It's very explicit in, for example, the two ones in Hochas Gzelo that I put in brackets on the Makor. She says, being a Sivas, Yaakov, not the Stipler, but the Sivas, and the Grach, says, why is Shinui Kona? Look in the word Tmura. Shinui is Kona because Gzelo works. Right? What does it mean Gzelo works? Gzela works is exactly what we started discussing. Is Gzela really Kona on this board, not on the previous board? Is Gzela really Kona or not? So he says, because Gzela is effective, says the Gemara. Can you get out of it? Of course you can get out of it. Because Gzela is effective. What does that mean? What do you mean Gzela is effective? So there are other ways. If you look at Rav Chaim, he has two Lashonos in Gzela Per Tesalach Aleph. I'm just going towards more radical Lashon to illustrate the point. He says, meaning, says the stifle, says the Nesivus and the second Lashon Reb Chaim there, because a gazlan is kone, if not for the chiyav hashava, and shinoi is mafkia the chiyav hashava. Why is shinoi mafkia the chiyav hashava? Because you can't be meishu zegilah kein shegadol anymore. It's not the same thing. So he says, that's exactly my proof. My makor is tumura. Why do I want to go like Rav against Rava? This isn't an answer yet, just a beginning. Because it's the Mefurish Gemara in Tmura. Now, it's actually interesting. I don't want to go into the Gemara in Tmura. In Tmura is a Machlokas, Abai and Rava, and it might actually work out with Shitasam that that's not Rava talking in Tmura, and that's exactly the Machlokas. But, without getting into that, he says, that's what it says, Shina is Kona, because Zela works. What does that mean? Because Zela is really Kona. It's not Shina the Kona, Zela is Kona. Ah, the Chiyav Hashava is Ma'akev. Shinoi takes away Chiyav Hashava. There's no Ma'akev. Zela is Kona. What would other people say about this? They would say that's not what the Gemara in Tmura meant. Maybe either they'd say that's the Havmin of the Gemara in Tmura, but not the Maskana, or they would say they didn't mean the Avera was the Gneva. The Avera was the Shinoi. In which case, it's not a big proof. That it's just from Shinoi works. But the other tzad is to say that no. Shinoi Kone, not Shina is not Kone because the Gneva is Kone. Shina Kone because the Shinoi is Kone. Mishas Hashinoi. Or the Shina is Kone. The Shina is Kone on its own. Not because of underlying suppressed Kenyan Mishas Gzela. No, Shinoi Kona means the Shinoi is Kona. It's not the Gzela is Kona. The Shinoi is Kona. Ah, what does that have to do with Kona Yisrael and Rachel Losad? And I think that it's one of the cases you do Shinoi B'Yadayim and saying maybe the Shinoi is not favorite. It shouldn't have been reported. The Shinoi, why is Shinoi Kona? Shinoi is Kona because maybe when you have something and you change it, then you get bias over it because you've created it. Or maybe when something changes in your possession, it becomes a new object and therefore you're more shy to it. The Shinoi is Kona in itself. Here we could fill two boards with this back here about Shinoi Kona, which we're not going to do. Is Shinoi Kona because Zela is Kona and Shinoi takes away this Asaris HaMa'akev? You know, it's a Machon Tzomet Kenyan? Or is Shinoi Kona because the Shinoi itself is Kona in and of itself? Okay, we're not getting into that now, but suffice it to say that many of the halachas of Shinoi might depend on this question. Just getting, yes?
According to number 10, the Goy can be Dorish the Kesef in Beis Din, right?
According to the Arayim, he can ask for his lulav back. According to the Nesivus, he said he could ask for his money back.
He can only get his money, he can't get his chayfetz.
Exactly, that's the other Nesivus says. He can get his money back, but he can't get the chayfetz. I bought it. Too bad for you, I bought it already.
Got the Arayim,
he can get his chayfetz back, correct. Yes.
What the Gemara in Tmura do exactly with Shinoi being Kona?
What?
What the Gemara in Tmura do with Shinoi being Kona?
Because the Gemara in Tmura said Shinoi Kona proves that it works, that Zela works.
Other Shinoi Kona do this.
Yes, it was a case of Shinoi Kona. Now, the remaining question is just that if you take the Reb Chaim and Nesiva's approach, how do you deal with the fact that we still hold like Rava? Meaning, you could say we don't agree with Rava's logic, but we still paskin like Rava. So that's the question. The Stifler brought up, and I have two answers to this. My two answers to this are, if so, why do we paskin like Rava? So my two answers are, A, the Baal HaMor in that sugya says at one line, it's a little tricky in the next line, that we only, to answer a different question, which we'll get to, we only pass like Rava, Midrabanan. The Baal HaMor says, Midaraisa, you don't like Rava. It's not that we really agree with his logic. We really don't agree with his logic. It's just Midrabanan, they were makra that way. Why? Because Midrabanan, they thought it was ridiculous for me to steal your iPhone and not give it back. So Midrabanan, they were makra like Rava. But that's not the real thing. The other answer, which is what the Rav Ochanan says in this Kobet Shiurim, who's also on the Brisker side of this Chakira. The Brisker side of this Chakira is with Rav. Or say B, Rabbi Chanan, the Kovet Shiur, I'm going to translate it into language that I understand more clearly. Maybe what he's saying is that Kimla Rabine doesn't pop you from Chiyav Hashava, only from Onshin. Chiyav Hashava is not an Onesh, it's a mitzvah. I'm adding a few words of Hezber to what he says, just to save your tsaris. For 15 years of my life, I did not have proper Menuchas HaNefesh, because I didn't exactly understand what this Rav Chana meant in the simon that's on the Makor sheet, until I finally figured it out. So I want to save you all that tsar. All the money you would have spent on therapists, you could just send my way. The Kovet Shiurim says very poshut. He says, maybe, be'ikarom v'yigriyath rav. You're konef not for chiva shava. But he just says, kim l'ravine only exempt from onesh, not from mitzvah hashava. The chiva shava is not a punishment. The chiva shava is a mitzvah. After all, hashava is a veda. What, do you think if I steal something from the ravine, I don't have the chiva shava is a veda? If it would come up, of course I do. Chiva shava is not a punishment. Chiva shava is a mitzvah, and therefore, Kim Rami doesn't exempt me from it. So we pass like Rav of the Lomi Tame. We pass like Rav of the Lomi Tame, it sounds. It sounds like we pass like Rav of the Lomi Tame. Or maybe, depending on what you think of Shoel, we pass like Rav of the Sasmi Tame.
It's like Tosfos himself, it's like we don't pass the note that Kim Rami is a kapora.
But correct. So if it's going a little further, but correct.
Does Rav Chanan say that Rava really holds, like, right, even Rava holds this, but it holds that also, like, even Rava held, like, that your Konev, but in a Chanai, but.
Right, so that's the question. Is he saying this is what Rava holds, or are we possibly give a Lomi Tame? If you want to stick to this or Rava's Lashon, it's going to be difficult. You're going to need a little bit of a crowbar.
I think it's Rava Chanan said it, though.
Rava Chanan seems to say you can stick this into Rava. What does Rava really mean? All Rava means, if you want to stick this to what Rava means, he didn't mean you don't have a kinyan not for the chiva shava. All he meant is, now we have to get to the moments of Shoel, then Shoel also has a kinyan. Shoel also has a kinyan. It does have a kinyan, it's just that you do have a kinyan not for chiva shava. Just, you don't have a kinyan in all circumstances, only when there's no chiva shava, and here's the chiva shava. Okay, it's a bit dumb, but you're right, he is thinking of Rava. Now, I will just point out very, 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 very briefly that another set of nafkaminas, which we will call 12 to 17 or 18 or wherever we get to. Okay, this is getting a little out of hand. I might beat my record. I think my record is 24. I could easily beat my record if I just want to bring obscure things. That's no big deal. But the other question is, even with Chiyuv Hashava, does the Ganef have partial Kinyanim? That's a fascinating question. Right? Even with Chiyuv Hashava, he doesn't have a full kinyan. We all know Lamaisa, he doesn't have a full kinyan when there's a Chiyuv Hashava in a normal case of stealing from a Jew without being Chayav Misa. But, does he have partial kinyanim or not? Meaning we know a Ganav has certain rights. Do those create kinyanim or not? Like a classic example, and here is a nice Nesivas L'shitase, is 12. Kinyan Chatzer on what lands in the stolen object. Let's say I steal a truck. Right? A $20 bill lands in the truck. Who's Kona B'Kinyan Chatzer? The Bailam or the Ganef? Right? The Ganef have a Kinyan Chatzer. What would you expect the Nesivas to say, perhaps? The Nesivas is bigger than this Kinyan. It says the Nesivas not only give a full Kinyan, not for Kinyan Shava. Even with Kinyan Shava is a partial Kinyan. It says the Nesivas, the Ganef is Kona. Why? It fell into the Ganef's Chatzer. It's not totally his because of the Chiva Shava, but it's at least partially his. And says the Ketos, on the other hand, though, says no. The Ganef is not Kona. The Ketos seems to think, again, each of these could, you could, if he has partial Kinyanim, it could be telling whether Kinyan Chatzer depends on who it belongs to or who is using it. Another classic example might be the machlokes between the Rama, Yad Rama, and the Beis Yosef, which is, which is, what if the ganav rents it out, who does the renter pay? The ganav steals a car and opens up Avis and rents it out to Pesach. And Pesach is a nice guy. He doesn't know anything. He says, okay, I'm renting the car. Okay, I'm renting for a week, $200. When he comes back to pay the $200, the police show up and say, it's not that guy's car, it's the owner's car. He says, look, I don't care. Here's the $200. I'm an honest guy. Who gets the $200? So what does the Yad Ramah say?
The owner says it really hurts.
Yeah, what does the Yad Ramah say? The Yad Ramah says, who gets the $200? Says the Yad Ramah to the Bailim, and says the Beis Yosef to the Ganav. Now, this could be dependent on the nature of Schiros, but it's striking that Beis Yosef says, what do you mean? Right now it's his. He has at least partial kinyanim on it. If right now it's his, then the thief gets the $200. What do you mean? While it was stolen, he has the right to rent it out. And the Ramah says, it's ridiculous. It's not his. Look, if he collected the $200, maybe there's nothing we can do about it. I don't know. We could try to sue him for it. But no, the $200 goes to the real owner. This is an afkamina. I'll just end with the Sman the Shach, and then we'll have to throw in some other things next time. The Sman the Shach, to say this depends on, this is a why, Ganef clearly doesn't have to pay rent. If I steal your car, Mishalmi Shasak Zela, I have to pay the value of the car, or give you the car back, I don't have to pay rent. Why doesn't the Ganav pay rent? Why doesn't the Ganav pay rent? If I steal your car and I'm caught and I give it back, I don't have to pay you rent for using your car.
Okay.
Why don't I have to pay you rent? Says the Shach, because it is his for now. Because the Ganav has a Kenyan. Says the Shach, because the Ganav has a Kenyan. That makes sense to Beis Yosef. If he has a Kenyan to use it, he has a partial Kenyan. He has to give it back, but he has to use it. If he has a Kenyan to use it, then he can use it without paying rent. And if he rents it to someone else, he should collect the rent. That's what he says here. What does he say? Gazl bershus gazl ubididei benafshe ka'ovid. Bididei benafshe ka'ovid. Because it's his own thing. It's not his own, but his own for now. Ka'ovid. That it's his for now. What does the Sma say? And therefore, that explains Beis Yosef. The Sma says no. He's justifying the Ramah. He says, really, he should pay rent. Of course, we're talking about a case where Kaima La Agra and Kaima La Megar, really, he should pay rent. But, Midrabanan, he's exempt. Why are the Rabbanan exempt Gazlanim from lots of things? Hakanas Hashavim, to give him incentive to do tshuva, we don't make him pay so much. He's like, you know what? Do tshuva. Just give the car back. Don't pay rent. It makes it easier to do tshuva. And he's, what? You're right, but for Takanas Hashavim, we're willing to override Inkotin Yitzkar. So the Smas is not as far as the Ramah. No, you don't have to pay rent. Takanas Hashavim, we'll give you a kulim darbanan. But of course, you can't collect that rent. That's ridiculous. It's not yours. They think you're arguing about this fundamental hakira. Is it at least partially the Ganav's or not? Okay, we'll have to have the third board on this. We'll have to go. I don't think that really goes to 18. How many things am I going to mention? Maybe I'll just mention 1, 2, 3 more. So we'll just put a 17 here.
You're going to do Eina Demosi Dovashina Shalom.
Yes. Okay, but it's already lunchtime, and that's the difference between a Monday and a Thursday. The Monday and Thursday are both Yimei Rachamim, but apparently Monday is more of a Rachamim. So we'll pick up Mirza on Thursday. We'll just finish up this reviewing this briefly. I mean, these are important things. It's going to come up again and again in the parish as well. And we'll go on to really sink our teeth into the next semester.